Says Kalim Perk Yudal Mishnah Zayin until Perk Tesvav Mishnah Beis. We have learned that with regards to the majority of Kalim, once they break, then they lose any tumor, any impurity that they had, and even if that Kli is repaired, it's considered to be now a new Kli, and it would not return to its original impure state. Rather, from that point onwards, since it's once again a Kli, it can become Tomei. However, with regards to metal items, even if the Kli broke, and therefore as long as it was broken, obviously it was not Tomei, because it didn't have the status of a Kli, once that Kli is repaired, or even if an entirely new Kli is made from it, it will return to its original impurity that it had, midrabanan. And at least according to one opinion, which we saw earlier on, in Perek Yud Aleph, the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, this only applies to a utensil that became Tomei from a dead body. The purification process that the Torah prescribes for a Kli that became Tomei from a dead body is quite a long process. It needs to be sprinkled with the solution which contains the ashes of the Par Aduma, a particular red cow, on the third day after it becomes Tomei, and on the seventh day. And only then can it be purified in a mikveh. And in order to avoid people getting out of this by just breaking the utensil and then repairing it, midrabanan, even once the Kli is repaired, it will still have that original tumor, and it will need to be sprinkled with this solution on the third and seventh day. Now, since this is only a stringency midrabanan, the Mishnah will show that possibly there is a leniency in this regard. Kli matchis, metal utensils, mitam in mitar in shavurin, which literally means can become Tomei and can become Tohar whilst they are broken. So when the Mishnah says that they become Tomei, or they are Tomei when they are broken, that just means that midrabanan, the fact that they are broken, does not remove permanently their impurity, because as soon as they are repaired, they will be Tomei once again with that original Tumah that they had. And when the Mishnah says that they become Tohar whilst broken, that means that the breaking of the utensil can count as part of the procedure of purification, as the Mishnah will in one moment explain. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. However, Rabbi Yeshua says, Eino mitaren elo shleimin, they can only become pure when they are complete, meaning the breaking of the utensil is in no way part of the purification procedure. And this obviously needs elaboration. Kate said, well, what is the explanation of this statement? So the Mishnah explains, Hizar lehen, if they sprinkle this solution on the utensil, so apparently we have reached the third day since it became Tomei, and that's the first out of the two times that this solution has to be sprinkled on the Kli in order to purify it, and on that same day, Nishbru Bevayoim, the Kli broke on that very same day. Hitichon, he melted down the metal and he made it into a new Kli, such that midrabanan, once again, it's considered to have that original impurity. If he then goes ahead and sprinkles this solution on that item a second time on that same day, already on that day, which is only the third day, the item is considered to be fully pure, even on a midrabanan level. Div Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Since anyway the entire requirement to continue the purification procedure is only midrabanan, they were lenient in this case to say that instead of waiting another 4 days until the seventh day to do the second sprinkling, since something significant occurred over here in between the two sprinklings, namely that midoraisa, the item became fully pure, so that breaking is in place of waiting another 4 days. So you would be able to do the second sprinkling on the same day after the item had broken and been repaired. You can put it in the mikveh on the same day, and it would not need any more for it to become pure. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, in azor pachas mishlishi yoshvi, there's no such thing as going through this procedure of sprinkling the solution onto the kli less than the third and seventh day. This procedure remains the same always. We can't change it and adapt it. And according to Yeshua, even in this case, we do not allow for such a leniency, and you would need to wait until the seventh day and then sprinkle the solution onto the kli, and only then would it be tahar. Mishnah Ches, the first part of this Mishnah talks about mafter shel arkuva, which literally means a key which is shaped like a knee. That is to say, just like a knee splits the leg into different sections, such that if we include the foot, the leg is made up of three different sections, so too this key is made up of three different sections. And it can be shown in the first diagram for this Mishnah. what the key looks like, and the diagram next to it shows how this key was used to open up the door of a house. There would be a kind of box fixed to the inside of the door, and from the outside there would just be a small hole through which the key could be placed. And the bolt itself had a hole inside of it through which the key, once it was placed through the hole of the door, the third part, the part of the key which was furthest away from the handle of the key, that would be moved upwards and it would go through this hole in the bolt, and you'd be able to control the bolt. You can move the bolt sideways and thereby unlock the door. The Mishnah says, "Naftel shel akruva," such a key, which is like a knee, meaning it has three different sections, it bends twice, "shenishbar mitoich akruvosai," that it breaks at its knee. That is to say, the first section, that which is essentially the handle of the key, breaks off, such that we are left with essentially an L shape, but without the length of the handle, which means that the key can no longer open the door from the outside, because you can't get it in through that hole in order to lift up part of it so that it goes through the hole in the bolt. You're not able to move the key around and to lift it up via the handle because the handle no longer exists. And because of that, tohar, it can no longer become tomei because it's useless. However, Rabbi Yehuda b'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda says that it can still become tomei, because if you're standing on the inside of the door, you are able to open the bolt using this key. If you're on the inside, you don't need the extra length to get through the hole of the door, because you're already on the other side of the door. So as you can probably see quite clearly on the diagram, just the two sections which are furthest away from the handle, that's enough. That's all that you need if you're standing on the inside of the door. So since you are still able to use this key for its original purpose for which it was designated, albeit only by unlocking it or locking it from the inside, that is enough for it to be able to still become Tomei. The Shulgam, a key which is shaped like an L from the beginning, which means it only has two sections, Shenishbar Mitoch Gumay, if it breaks at the part that it bends into the two sections, that such that you're left only with the last section, according to everybody, Tohar, it can no longer become Tomei, because even from the inside you can't open the lock and the bolt anymore. You don't have a handle even from the inside, and therefore it is definitely useless according to everybody. Now the next diagram shows a very similar mechanism, just a slightly more sophisticated lock. This is essentially very similar to the L-shaped key, just that it had teeth protruding out of the end of this key, and the bolt had holes for these protrusions to go through. And the way it would work was identical. You would place the key through the hole in the door and then move it downwards or upwards such that these protrusions would go into the holes in the bolt, and then you would be able to move the bolt sideways. The diagram next to that shows a very similar mechanism. Just in this case, the key itself had some holes in it at the end, and the bolt had these protrusions coming out of it. And you need to place the key over the protrusions of the bolt, and then you would be able to move the bolt sideways like that. Now, in the case of these keys, even if the entire first section of the handle breaks off, they can still be used, albeit with a bit of difficulty, to unlock the door even from the outside. If you push it through this hole, and then you allow the protrusions or the holes to go down and or up and connect with the bolt, and then you can move it to the side and unlock the bolt like that. It would probably be quite difficult. That is what the handle is for, but it's still possible to use it, and therefore it's still considered to be a useful key that can become Tomei. The Mishnah talks about quite a unique key that Hoibechofin Unakovin. It had both protrusions coming out of the end of it, and also it had holes, which means that it can be used to unlock both a bolt that has holes in it and a bolt that has protrusions. It can be used for two types of locks. So first, the Mishnah says that such a lock, and this law really applies even to a key that only has holes or it only has protrusions, even once the handle comes off, Tomei can still become Tomei because, as we explained, it can be still used to unlock the bolt, albeit with difficulty. And now the Mishnah says a law that is unique to this special key that can be used for both types of locks, Nitlu Chofin. If the protrusions which come out of the end of this key get taken off, Tomei, the key can still become Tomei Mnei Nekovin because of its holes, so it can still be used for that other type of lock, Nistat Mnei Nekovin. And likewise, if the holes get stopped up, tome, the key can still become tome, mnechofin, because of the protrusions which are there and can still be used for that type of lock. But if nitlu chofin, the protrusions which come out of the end of the key get taken off, and vnistat munakovin, the holes get blocked up, so then it can no longer be used for any type of lock, and therefore it would no longer be able to become tome, and we're talking specifically once the handle has come off. If the handle is still attached, then even without the protrusions or the holes, it can be used for the type of bolt that was shown in the first diagram for this Mishnah, where the bolt just simply has a large hole through which the entire last section of the key goes through. But if we're talking about a key which no longer has that extra handle at the top of it, it's rather only made up of this last section with protrusions or holes at the end. So then, if it no longer has the protrusions or the holes, then obviously it can no longer become tome. Or if the holes opened up into each other, they got wider, now we're left with just one larger hole. Or if the protrusions bend towards each other, now they're touching each other, but they're no longer straight, so they can't be used anymore to open the bolt. They won't go into the holes in the bolt, or the holes of the key won't fit with the protrusions coming down out of the bolt, and therefore in all of these cases, tahara, the key, can no longer become tome because it can no longer be used for its original function. On a similar note, masnenes shel chardol, a sieve which is used for mustard seeds in order to allow the mustard seeds to come through the holes, and the rest of the mixture, the parts of the produce which are unwanted, would remain above the sieve. But shenivtzubo shleishon kovim lematon zedesech zeh, if three of the holes at the bottom of the sieve open up into each other such that they no longer, the sieve will no longer be useful to stop the things at the top which are unwanted from getting through the sieve. It's now useless, and therefore tahara, it can no longer become tome. And the Mishnah's final case is v'hafarkes shel matreis, a metal funnel which is used for allowing grain to slowly drop into a mill for it to be grinded. Tome, it can become tome even when it's by itself, because although it can only really be used and it only has a use as part of this larger kli, as part in helping the mill, nevertheless, it has a very clearly identified function that it itself is fulfilling, and because of that, it can become tome even when it is by itself. Perek Tzvav Mishnah Aleph. After the first perek of the Masechta, we had 9 prokim talking about the laws of klei cheres, earthenware utensils made out of clay. That was from perek Beis until perek Yud. From perek Yud Aleph until perek Yud Dalad, the next 4 prokim, the Mishnayos talked about metal kalim. And the following 5 prokim talk about the third category, and that is klei eitz, wooden utensils, klei ur, utensils, kalim made out of leather, and klei etzem, utensils which are made out of bone. These 3 fit into the same category, that mid'oraisa, they are able to become tome. The Mishnah adds on a 4th type, which is klei zechuchis, glass utensils, mid'rabbonon, glass can become tome. On a mid'oraisa level, it is not one of the materials that can become tome at all. Much like stone can never become tome, on a mid'oraisa level, according to the Torah, glass can also not become tome. However, mid'rabbonon, because of its similarity to clay, which turns into earthenware, that's also material that comes from the ground, and it's hardened and turned into utensils. And because of the similarity of glass items midrabbanon can become tome. But the particular laws of glass will be discussed in the final perek of the Masechta. For the next 5 prokem talk about the first 3 types of utensils which have just been mentioned. Wood, leather, and bone. Like we've already seen in many, many examples given earlier on, and comparisons to metal items, peshutein, tahirin, if they are flat and they're not able to hold or contain something, then they cannot become tome, and only on the kablehen, only those utensils which are able to hold things, tomeim, only those can become tome. Nishburu, if the kli breaks, then tahoru, they would lose any tumah that they had. And even if Chazav Osmeim Kalim, if he went back and made new Kalim out of that same material, Makablin Tumah Mekano Lahaba, it's true that those Kalim can now become Tommy once again from then onwards, but it would not return to the Tumah state that it had previously, and this is unlike metal, that Midrabonon would once again return to its previous impure state. So the Mishnah stated a rule in 2 parts. One part of the rule is that if it can't contain things, then it can't become tome. And the second half of the rule is that if it can hold and contain things, then it can become tome. The remainder of this Mishnah lists exceptions to the second half of that rule, items which are able to hold things and yet they cannot become Tomei, and the next Mishnah will list exceptions to the first half of the rule, things that cannot hold things, but nevertheless, midrabbanan, they would be able to become Tomei. Now, it's learned from Pesukim that only items that can be moved and are made to be moved around can become Tomei. Not only that, it has to be such an item that even when that item is full, the container is full of whatever it holds, even then it's able to be moved. But if it's such a massive container that once it's filled up, it's impossible to move it, then that item cannot become Tomei, even if it's not actually affixed to the ground. The fact that it's not made to be moved, even when it is full, means that it cannot become Tomei. For example, Hashida, a large chest, the Hateva, a large box, which is used by a money changer for placing coins inside of it, the Hamigdal, a large closet or cupboard, which is shaped like a tower, and it is used for holding various items inside of it, Kaveres HaKash, Kaveres HaKonim, a straw basket, or a basket made of reeds. Again, we're talking about very large baskets. These have a status of wooden items because they are relatively hard material which come from the ground. Boris of Alexandris and a very large container of water which was brought on a ship going to Alexandria. If the ship would go on a long voyage, it would have to bring enough drinking water to survive the journey. If this list of containers, Shieshlaim Shulaim, if the containers, these items, have flat bases, and they are so large that Vehim Achzik Marboim Se'or Balach, they are able to hold 40 Se'or of liquid, Shehim Kurayim Bayovesh, which was another way of saying that it can hold 2 Kor of solids. Now, 2 Kor is actually 60 Se'or. A Kor is 30 Se'or, so 2 Kor is 60 Se'or. Because the solids can be piled up higher than the rim at the top of these containers. And like liquid, it obviously has to be contained within the walls of the container. Be as it may, if it's that large, then Har'elu Tahirin, they are not able to become Tomei, even though they're able to hold things, because they cannot be moved, and they're not made to be moved when they are full. Ushar Kol HaKelim, however, all other kinds of utensils, even if they are very, very large, Bein Mekablin, Bein Eino Mekablin, whether they can hold such a large amount or not, Tomein, they can become Tomei, because all other utensils are able to be moved even when they are full. Either the bottom of the utensil is not totally flat, it's slightly curved, and therefore it is easier to move that utensil, or it has some kind of handle or chain by which the item can be pulled, be it as it may, because it can be moved when it is full even, it therefore can become Tomei. The Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is certain kelim which are very large, but they are designed in such a way that they can be moved when they are large. For example, dardur agola, a very large barrel which is placed on a wagon. So obviously it can be moved because it's on a wagon. Vekustos hamelochim, chests which belong to kings that they would have in their chariots. That rivas ha'abdonim, and a container used by people who tan hides in order to soak the animal hides in water. They would have these containers, and the containers were made in such a way that they could be moved quite easily. Uboros fina ktana, and a container of water which is placed on a relatively small ship. When I say relatively small, that means in comparison to the ship which went to Alexandria, which would have been a much larger ship. This was a smaller ship, and therefore the barrel would have been a bit smaller. However, the barrel itself would have been very, very large, such that it was still able to hold at least 40 se'ah of liquids. The orain, or standard closet or cupboard, athal pishim kablin tamein, these things, even if they are able to hold 40 se'ah of liquid, or 60 se'ah of solids, tamein, they can become tomei, she'inon asuin letaltel ela b'mash b'seichon, because they are specially designed in a way that they can be moved, even when they have that which is inside of them contained within them, even when they are full. But all other kinds of utensils, hamakablin tahirin, those which are so large that they hold 40 of liquids, they cannot become tomei, which ain't hamakablin tahirin, and those utensils that are smaller than that and they can't hold that much, they can become tomei. That, of course, is the regular rule that everybody agrees with. And the Mishnah notes that ain't bin divrab meil divrab Yehuda, there's no difference actually between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, el arivas balabayis, except with regards to a container used by somebody at home to knead dough. We're talking about a very large utensil that can hold this large amount of 40 se'ah of liquid. And neither Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda included this in their list of items. Reb Meir listed items that cannot become Tomei, so the fact that he didn't include this in the list implies that he holds that it can become Tomei. Whereas Reb Yehuda listed things that can become Tomei and he didn't include it, which implies that he holds that it cannot become Tomei. And the argument is based on the fact that this item, this large container, is not regularly moved when it is full, but occasionally it would be. So is that enough to give it the status of a movable container or not? And it's with regards to that case that Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda argue. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah lists exceptions to the first half of the rule in the previous Mishnah, namely wooden items that cannot hold and contain things, they haven't got a rim around them, they are flat, and nevertheless, because they are used very, very often and have a lot of significance to them, as well as the fact that they are designed in a particular way to assist in whatever function they have, they're not just a simple flat board of wood. Because of that, they are considered to be similar enough to a regular kli that midrabbanan, they can become tomei. And this wasn't a categoric decree midrabbanan, they said it with regards to very specific utensils. For example, aruvei shonach toimim, boards which are used by bakers to plat the bread before the dough, to plat the dough before it was placed in the oven, tomeis, they can become tomei midrabbanan, vishal balabatim. However, such a board which is used by a regular person at home, tohoyos, they cannot become tomei. It's not made in any unique fashion, it's usually just going to be a totally flat, regular piece of wood. And also it's not used so often, and therefore they didn't make this decree with regards to those boards. Serkon, a kirkamon. However, if a regular person at home dyes it with red dye or with saffron, some kind of yellow color, he's added another level of significance to that item, and therefore tomeis, it would be able to become tomei midrabbanan. Next case, daf shel nachtoimim. A board which is used by bakers, and over here we're talking about actually a metal board. So this is something that can become tomei midoraisa, but in this case, shekavoi bakoisel, he fixed it to the wall. Rabbi Eliezer says that it can no longer become tomei, because it's now been attached to something which is affixed to the ground, and anything which is fixed to the ground cannot become tomei. However, v'chachom metamim, the chachom say that it can still become tomei, because since until now it has been a kli, and you haven't actually changed that shelf in any way, apart from sticking it to the wall, it does not lose its status of being a kli. However, with regards to a wooden board, if that was fixed to a wall, then even the Chachom agree that it would not be able to become Tomei, because a wooden board itself can only become Tomei Midrabbanan. Srojlach Toimim, a wooden board, once again, which is used by bakers. Here we're talking about the board that he uses either to place some water on top of this board, the water that he needed in the process of kneading, etc., or we're referring to the board that was used to transport the dough into the oven. Once again, because of the way that it was made and its frequent use, tomei, it can become tomei, v'shal balabatim, but the equivalent that was used by a regular person at home, it wouldn't have been made in such a professional way, and it wouldn't have been used so often, and therefore tohar, it cannot become tomei. That having been said, gipfoi me'abar rechosov, if he added a rim around all four sides, then tomei, it can become tomei, midoraisa, because now it can hold and contain things. But as soon as nifratz meruach achas, if it opens up and breaks on one of the rims, on one of the directions, then tohar, it can no longer become tomei, because it's not surrounded on all sides, and therefore it can't contain and hold things anymore. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he doesn't add any rims around it, but im hiskina liyos koyetzolov, if the person who uses this at home fixed it in any way, he adapted it in some way and designated it to use for cutting the dough on it, once again, that gives it an extra level of significance that such that tomei would be able to become tomei midrabbanan, just like the board which is used by a baker. And the Mishnah ends off, v'chein ma'aroich, similarly, a wooden rolling pin is an additional example of something that midrabbanan, it can become tomei because of its frequent use and special design, which is made in order that the function for which it is used can be fulfilled in the most efficient way possible.